service, proper use of the gift. Testimonies are anointed. Yes. People got something to say, something with impact. The Holy Spirit is able to do something with what we let's heal. I appreciate it deeply. This is the third of a series of seminar on the gifts of the Spirit. I'm answering questions. I have a few things I'd like to say tonight. First one is that tongues is a glossa, is a language. God has given other tongues as a language. It's not just gibberish. Do not roll your tongue or jabber for tongues. There must be an articulate language. There are those who just will get into a habit of manipulating their tongues. I know English, and I can roll my tongue and jabber. I speak in other tongues, and I can roll my tongue and jabber. I can introduce it into English, and I can introduce it into tongues. That's me. That utterance did not come from God. You can have emotions upon you, and you can do things like that. Don't just go brrrr. That's the sound the kids use to play motorcycle. That's got nothing to do with heaven. Now, really, folks, speaking in tongues is an articulate language that God has given that your spirit might release itself in an intelligible form to God through a language that has meaning. And if you find yourself doing that, you're being nonsensical. You've fallen into a trap. You're manipulating the tongues. You're not allowing it to have its way. If you try hard enough, as you're speaking in tongues, you can twist it to do anything with it. You have the power over your tongue. You can spit. You can whistle. You can flutter. You can do what you want. But don't do it. Keep giving what the Spirit is giving. Do not interpose your own mind something here that does something different. Do not mix tongues and English together within one sentence, like, now, I'm not going to speak in tongues, although I can. I don't believe in doing that, except for real purposes. Therefore, I'm going to substitute jabber. But by the jabber, I really mean legitimate tongues, okay? Now, don't pray to God like, we know, Lord, that, and that, we know, Lord, we love you, Lord, because, and we do this, and then, Lord, just come down right now and see, don't mix. There are people doing that. Not very many, but there are people doing that. That is nonsensical. Because, first of all, it's not articulating your spirit, because you're starting out with your mind, saying what your mind knows, and saying, I know, Lord, that. And then you switch over. And you don't give either the mind or the spirit opportunity to make a full sentence. To make a full expression of a thought. Don't combine the two. It is totally nonsensical. That is confusion. It is sensible to switch from one language to the other several times during a long private prayer. That's all right. You can be praying in English, what you know, and you feel the Spirit of the Lord coming on you, and you find yourself speaking in other tongues. That's all right. The Spirit is demanding to express itself. And as you are expressing yourself to God, that Spirit gushes out, and sometimes you just pick up the fact that you're speaking in tongues. Didn't even know how you made the transitional win. And then later on in the prayer, there may other things come into your mind you may wish to pray about. You may come back to English, and you may pray about those. And as you get praying in God about those things, you may find the Spirit is saying, I want to talk too. And you find yourself speaking in other tongues. That's fine. It doesn't hurt to switch back and forth. It's not necessarily wrong to feel the power of the Spirit so much that you can hardly speak in English and you say out something in tongues and come back and talk in English some more. That on occasion is all right. But don't mix one thought up, flipping back and forth. It is most reasonable to pray out your heart in English. To come before God, you have things that you want to beseech God about. You have things you want to say. You want to tell God you love Him. You want to tell Him you appreciate Him. You want to tell Him that although you're unworthy, yet you appreciate the fact that He loves you and He's bearing with you. You want to ask Him to forgive you for your sins. You have needs. You have certain people to pray about. To pray your heart out. And then just pray until, next thing you know, your ear is picking up the sound, you're speaking in other tongues. How many have prayed and were not conscious when you made the switch? And you find that when you get really in prayer, it's easier and more natural to pray in other tongues than in English. And if you don't pay any attention, you get lost in prayer in God, you find your ear picks up the fact that you're speaking in tongues, and you don't even know when you made the change. How many have found this in your life? Most of you have. And that's very natural, and that's good. It should be more natural to speak in other tongues than in your own language. But, and so it's most natural to start out in English and pray until you have emptied your mind of what you want to pray about. And then let the gushings of your spirit come out and finish it off. Paul said, I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. It is important. Do not make the mistake of praying only in English. If you pray only in English, then you are making the mistake of only praying according to your understanding. And you're failing to take into consideration the scripture that says, we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us for groanings which cannot be uttered. We need to recognize that when we come to the end of our human limitations, that we do need to pray in the Spirit. And we need to let the Spirit articulate its needs over and above that which our own minds are conscious of. And to speak in a language that our own intellect cannot understand, that our ego and our superego and our id, as the psychologists call it, cannot interfere. We've got to have that free access to the Spirit without your theology and fears and worries and all that trying to block it. Because the human mind will block what the Spirit really wants and needs if you let it. On the other hand, we need to guard against speaking only in other tongues in prayer. Because we do need to express our heart. We do need to have our mind pick up through our ears words expressing our love and our adoration to the Lord and our commitment to Him to strengthen our position and commitment in God. We do need to tell Him how we feel. Don't spend all your time either in English or all your time in tongues. Question, does a person always know the interpretation before giving it? No, a person usually does not know the interpretation before giving it. A person will generally know a few words or a clause or a sentence. Sometimes a person will understand the gist, particularly if while a person is speaking in tongues, he is getting the flavor of it. Sometimes he gets the whole gist of the thing. But most normally, and there are those who may get the interpretation, may understand it as it's being spoken. But generally, you do not understand the tongue that is being spoken. Yours is a different one, and you don't even understand your own. And you will receive the interpretation as the Lord gives it to you, piece by piece by piece. What are some of the ways you may receive the interpretation? Some people get just a word at a time, or more normally a clause, or a sentence. Some may understand the import of the whole thing, but then are speaking in the other tongue. Some are getting the interpretation flowing out, but they are not really getting every word precisely, and they're having to give the understanding that's coming rather than the words directly that are coming. But most normally, you're receiving, it's flowing into your mind, and you're speaking as it's coming in, you're speaking as it's coming in, you're speaking as it's coming in. If you're having to think about it, God's not giving it to you. If you had some wonderful thoughts before service and you're trying to remember them and give it out, that is not God speaking to you in prophecy or interpretation. It is only interpretation if the Lord is giving it to you at the moment and you're speaking it out. What's in your head ahead of time is not prophecy nor interpretation. Can you receive an interpretation before the service begins? You can't interpret something until it is said. And I am very worried about those who are getting interpretations before the message is given. I don't have much confidence in people that 2 o'clock in the afternoon they got the interpretation for a tongue that's going to come at 8. God gives the interpretation. He got plenty of time to give the interpretation after the tongues. The tongues comes first, and then the interpretation follows. If any man speaks in an unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret. Not if any man gets interpretation, pray that one may give a tongue. Should you step to the mic if you're not sure you are the one going to be used for the interpretation? No, please stay seated. You step to the mic when you are sure that you are the one to give the interpretation, and not until. Otherwise, you're up here to the mic, and somebody who is quite sure is sitting back there wondering what's going on because he's sure and you're up here not sure, and he doesn't know what's happening because you got the mic, and he's not going to come up here and wrestle you for it. Can or should you step out to give a tongue if you feel that it is what's needed in the service? No. Do not try to come out up and do what's needed. Move as the Holy Ghost moves upon you. He decides when it's needed. Don't try to give a tongue. Don't try to get a tongue. Don't decide when it's needed. It's none of your business when it's needed. If God moves upon you to give it, give it. And if he doesn't, forget it. That's the way to exercise the gifts. More people get into trouble by trying to manipulate the gifts, get the gifts, think about the gifts, try to get the mind empty, try to get something, try to move up, go by feeling. None of that has anything to do with the operation of the gifts. The gifts is when God moves upon you to do something and you know it and you do it. That's how the gifts should be operated. It'll save a lot of chaos. Should there always be a real physical anointing felt before giving a tongue or an interpretation of tongues? There should always be an anointing before you start out with a message. God anoints for that particular message. He anoints. There is an anointing that comes up on you to do that particular thing. And if you just walk up and you feel dry as a bone, but you've got a lot of things in your head, you have no way of knowing that God wants to give it. But I got some ways of knowing that he doesn't. He does not. That is not the way he operates. He will anoint you for service, my friend. When God wants to make a king, he anoints him for king. When he wants to make a prophet, he anoints him for prophet. When he wants you to be a pastor, he anoints you for that ministry. If he's got something for you to give by the Spirit, he will anoint you for that. If he will give you a message, he will anoint you. How do you know if it is going to be a prophecy rather than a tongues and interpretation? Or do you? You know. When God, I never saw a person in my life who is really used in the gifts with real power and anointing, that you can be sure of that gift, who didn't know what was happening to him when it came upon him. When God comes upon me to prophesy, I don't wonder if it's a tongue. I know it's to prophesy. When it comes on for a tongue, I don't have to wonder if it's a prophecy. That thing is clearly in your mind. You know what gift God wants to use you in. You know, and if you don't know, you haven't got it. If you feel anointing and you come uphill and you're not sure what he's going to use you in, you're anointed but not for ministry. Right. You're just anointed because you're in the service and his love and his presence, but not for ministry. Everybody who's got an anointing, keep seated until you know what it's for. You will know what it's for, my friend. And you know, if everybody would follow these things, we would not have the terrible chaos in the charismatic movement today, with everybody prophesying out of their own head, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord has not spoken. If you have what you think is the interpretation, but no tongues precede it. See, if you have what you think is the interpretation, but no tongues precede it, then you go ahead and give it forth. What's that mean? I don't know. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I just can't quite figure it out. Oh, somebody thinks they've got an interpretation, but there's no tongues. My friend, you cannot have interpretation without tongues. You may have a prophecy. You see, interpretation means somebody has spoken something and it's not intelligible to you, and now it needs somebody to interpret that. There's no such thing as having interpretation without a tongue. No such thing. How can you come up here and say, I get interpretation right now from a German language, but it hasn't any language. Now how could you have the interpretation? There has to come a language first. Something has to be said to interpret.
Right. Yeah.
There's no such thing as having interpretation. God comes upon you with a message. You have a message of prophecy. How can an elder know if he has the gift of healing or if God is just backing up the eldership position? I say this respectfully. I'm not trying to make any fun at all tonight. I'm really not. You know, it may sound that way, but I'm not. God knows that I'm not, and I want you to know that I'm not. But what difference does it really make? Who cares? Why should you care whether God is backing up your eldership position or whether you got the gift of healing? As long as they're getting healed, who cares? Now, see, it's a good question, because if you really care enough, you got a problem. Because you want to know whether to put another medal on your called gift of healing or not. If you want to know whether to put another mark on your board or not, it doesn't make any difference. The whole point is the individual. You see, then nobody can know whether always. If you would leave your assembly where you are no longer an elder, and you're praying for people in other assemblies and other places and Christians around the world, across the nation, and there is a remarkable follow-up of healing to your prayers, then you have the gift of healing. Because you're not an elder out there. You're only an elder over one particular church. But in the church, you can't necessarily tell. But it doesn't really make any difference. And if you are being used, if you're praying for people we were not even asked to, and not in conjunction with the others, but just miscellaneous, and people getting healed right and left, you might well think that you have the gift of healing. And if it's used mainly when you're meeting with other elders and you're called as an eldership position to do it, and otherwise when you're praying for people and they're not getting healing, then you can assume that God is just backing up the office. But it doesn't make much difference. Now, the question I'm going to talk about tonight, mainly, and I'll try not to be too long tonight, I've done a lot of talking already, is please explain ways in which the gift of faith might be operated. Pardon me a minute. My wife wanted me to bring the fact out that question was not asked by an elder wondering. It was asked by a non-elder wondering. Okay. I'll let you know. Please explain ways in which the gift of faith might be operated. Is it common for the gift of faith and the word of knowledge to operate in conjunction? Not only does the gift of faith and the word of knowledge often operate in conjunction, but along with the word of faith, the gift of faith, the word of knowledge, the word of miracles, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, but also the gift of miracles, also the gift of healing, also the gift of prophecy. If a person were being used in the gift of faith, would it be wise to seek after the word of knowledge to make the gift of faith more powerful in the ministry of deliverance? In other words, do these gifts work hand in hand? Well, I've already answered that question, and I think what you need to do is, because it isn't just those two that work together, you need to say, Lord, I want to be as effective as possible in this body. And you know what I need and what I can handle and what you want to give me. And I want to give. I want, Lord, what is needed to make my ministry the most effective. And along with that faith, if you want to use me in healing or miracles or imparting that faith or in knowledge or whatever, I want to be used in that. And if you see a particular hole in your ministry and you see the hole and you know the hole, you know the lack, say, Lord, I feel that I need this to combine with this. There seems to be a lack in my ministry because of this. And if it's your will and it's pleasing to you, I'll ask you, Lord, to give me this gift along with what I've got to make it more effective for you, not to make it more effective for me, that I might, puff myself up. Because after all, the gifts only help other people. They can hurt you if you take too much cognizance of it. If you can operate the gifts, and it doesn't mean anything big to you, then they can't hurt you. But if you want to feel the super prestige of it, they're hurting you. So see, God's got it all worked out so that if you want to glory in it, you're getting hurt by it. And if you're not glorying in it, it doesn't mean anything to you, that excepting that you're trying to help people out. I don't mean realistically that the human mind doesn't say, well, I'm not appreciative of it, or I don't count it a privilege or an honor, or this is a marvelous thing God has done. But I mean, you know, to let the ego be built by the thing and to be puffed up by it. If a person were being... do you have any particular advice, wisdom, or admonition you would give to a person with a gift of faith that would help him in ministering to individuals or the body in general, that would help them avoid pitfalls? And in a given situation, would it be helpful to let the person you were praying with know that God had used you in the gift of faith? Maybe give a few examples to encourage the heart to receive from God. If God is using you in the gift of faith, it will stand upon its own. It will operate, and they will see it, and they will feel the effect of it, and they'll see the results of it. You don't have to go on and say, now God gave me this gift in order for them to have confidence in what's happening. You don't have to say that. God gives you a gift of miracles, miracles are happening. You don't, or give you a gift of faith, a healing, and healing is taking place, or gift of faith, and faith is operating. You do not need to explain to the person what God gave you. The fruits will bear witness to it. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the gift of faith, what it is. To understand the gift of faith, we need to briefly look at the other gifts, I feel, so you can understand what this gift of faith really is. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for just a moment, if you take your Bibles out and turn there quickly, I'll only be a short time on this. I want to very quickly run through the gifts and then link the gift of faith to it so you can see what it really is. I think there's more misunderstanding and lack of understanding on the gift of faith than any other gifts. First Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, all of these gifts are to the body of Christ. And all of these gifts come by an instantaneous revelation and energy from God to do a job. These are resident gifts. They reside within. They have nothing to do with human abilities or what's been gained in the natural. They are gifts that operate as God would energize you and anoint you for it at the moment. So the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of wisdom, is a flash revelation from God at the instant that wisdom is needed, in which you have wisdom in how to act. And all of a sudden you know something that you do not know in the natural and you did not know before. All of a sudden you have a divine revelation of how to act in a given situation. How to be wise in an area that you did not know. And all of a sudden God lets you know how you are to operate, what to do, what to say, how to behave, who to get, what not to do, how to approach it. It's all a how. It's wisdom. And this wisdom, when given forth, is a word of wisdom. And it accomplishes something, because if God, who has all wisdom, sees the situation, He knows exactly what needs to be said, and He'll give it to you, and you'll speak it forth, and you'll get the results, and no one can gainsay it effectively, because the wisdom of God always puts to silence the mouth of the adversary, the Pharisees and the scribes, and from that day on, no man durst ask him any questions.
Right. Yeah.
It answers, it settles the matter right then and there, and the mouths are stopped, and the thing is all taken care of. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Knowledge, the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of knowledge, is a flash revelation that you receive knowledge in the instant it's needed. And then as you speak forth that knowledge, it is the word of knowledge. And you know something you did not know just before. It is not accumulated knowledge. It's got nothing to do with what you've learned, how much intelligence or knowledge you have. Knowledge is to know something you did not know, and wisdom is how to use it or how to act. Now, wisdom in what area? It doesn't define it. Any area in which you need wisdom in the ministry or in the body of Christ for any purpose that God wants to give you wisdom to speak forth, that's the gift of the word of wisdom. The word of knowledge has been not defined. In any area that God wants to give you knowledge of for that moment in relationship to the work of God, the ministry, the body of Christ. I was in a, and I've told this many times, but I was in a situation where somebody said, go out and talk to that person. Here's their problem. And God gave me a word of knowledge. And he told me that the problem was not that. It was something different. So I walked out there and said, you have a problem, huh? And they said, yes. And I said, let me tell you what your problem is. And I told her, and said, is that correct? And she said, yes. It was not what the person told me at all. She told the person what the problem was for me to deal with the problem. God gave me a word of knowledge, and on the way, I knew. You see, how do you know? That isn't the question. You know because God put it in your mind. That's how you know. You know like Adam knew when he was created a full-grown man and never learned anything growing up because he never grew up. And all of a sudden, he knew. He knew because God put it there. You know because God put it there. And you didn't feel it come in, didn't take any special anointing, didn't take any special emotion. You just know something. Now, this is not intuition. This is not your minister's intuition or your woman's intuition. It's not being able to size somebody up, psychoanalyze them. It's not because you know people. It's got nothing to do with looking at them and surmising. It is a divine knowledge of God in which you know. And you know that you know. Somebody came to me and said, a certain person has a certain marriage problem. They didn't tell me what the marriage problem was. They said, they're having a marriage problem. I took the two people, and I went home. I said, okay. I went home, and the Lord gave me a revelation of what the problem was. I sat down, and I wrote out a list of his problems and a list of her problems and what to do about them. And I told my wife about it. I got in the car, and I met him. I took him up, and we parked in the parking lot of the Lutheran church. This is when we were still in the Fudine basement. I parked in the parking lot overlooking the airport there. And I said, now, rather than you tell me what your problems are and get in fighting about it, like sometimes couples want to do, I said, supposing I just tell you what your problems are and what to do about it. So I told her what her problems were, and I told him what his problems were. And I said, now, how am I doing? I said, have I missed the whole thing, or am I right on? And she said, you have hit the nail right on the head. There are things in that nobody knows outside of this family. We have not told a single soul, and nobody knows some of those intimate details. This woman was resisting the Holy Spirit, and she was dragging her feet, and tears came into her eyes as I told her, because she knew it was God. And that opened her up and made her willing. Where before, perhaps she would not have been willing. She'd been dragging her feet for so long, but when she knew it was God, because intimate details were revealed, she broke down and she opened her heart up. That's the word of knowledge. Gives you knowledge concerning something. It can be a word of knowledge in the word. It can be outside of the word. All right. To another, faith. We'll hold that last. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. These are resident gifts, all of them. But there comes a time when you step forth to lay hands upon somebody. And the moment you lay hands upon somebody for healing, the Lord backs up that need at that moment, and the Lord brings an energy that comes out of heaven that you didn't have in you before, and He heals that person through you. It isn't something that you carry around. You don't carry healing around inside of you. You have carried the Lord, but not healing. It is an energy to heal that comes at the moment that's needed, and not before. You don't have a whole storage tank full of healing build up. To another, the working of miracles. This is a divine release of energy at the moment it's needed to do a miracle. Now you say, what kind of miracle? Well, what kind of healing? Any healing that is needed. Didn't say. Now he said gifts of healings, plural. So some have one and some have the other. He hasn't given everybody every gift, but of healing. Because there are different gifts of healings, like it is in the Greek. But it's for anything, for any healing. It's not specified. Now here, gift of miracles, for what? He did not specify. Wherever there is needed a miracle, and God wants to do a miracle, that is what it's for. Anything for the work of the ministry in the body of Christ. Whether you need to run on top of water to save yourself from somebody, whether you need to open the Red Sea, or no matter what it is, raise the dead or whatever, when there is a need and God moves upon you to do a miracle. To another, prophecy. Prophecy is a divine revelation that comes in an instant, something you did not have before, and all of a sudden, a message rushes into your mind that you speak forth, wherever is coming, and to do a particular job. Prophecy about what? Whatever God wants to talk about. Whatever He wants to deal with. To speak what He will do. Although in the church it's often for exhortation, it's for comfort, it's for edification, but that covers a broad field. To build up in the faith, to comfort, to exhort, I mean, in any way, on any subject. To another, the discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is a flash revelation that God gives you in an instant to discern what type of spirit is involved. Whether a demon is involved. What demon is involved? What's happening? All of a sudden you discern evil spirits. Or you discern the spirit of the Lord. You can tell what spirit it is. You discern it in an instant. It's a flash revelation. It's something that you don't walk along and say, oh, I can always tell. You cannot always tell. It's something that God reveals at a moment. To another, different kind of tongues. Speaking in tongues to the assembly now, not praying in tongues, but a gift of tongues with a message is something that comes by a divine unction, a release of energy, that all of a sudden God moves on somebody to speak forth. If you are just getting up and speaking forth, then you are not properly operating the gift. You should let the Holy Spirit lead in the service. You should have Him move upon you to speak in other tongues. Now it is true that you can, if God gives you a gift of healing, you can charge outside and run down the street, and you can start hunting for, you can run into a church someplace and start praying for people. You can just start doing this, and people will start getting healed too. But that is not God's will. You can run out and start speaking in tongues any place, but that's not God's will. God has not ordained that you take and you, God, even though God will often back you up, He expects you to use your common sense. I can go out and I can stand out in the street corner, you know, someplace where the traffic is so noisy that you can't hear a thing. And I can start preaching and say, Lord, I, in the name of Jesus, anoint me now, and I can start preaching and get real anointed. But I'm foolish. You can go up to the rest home or the hospital and testify. And let and the Spirit of the Lord can come down upon you to people that are all sleeping in there. It, just because you can do it and God won't say no and not back it up does not mean it's His will. He expects you to use wisdom. Because he says, let all things be done decently and in order. And why does he tell you that if he doesn't care what you do, or if he decides that you can't do anything else? He does put it in us. He said, if he's talking to a prophet. He said, if a prophet is speaking and something is revealed to another prophet that sitteth nearby, he says to hold your peace and let him speak, for the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Now, why tell a prophet that? Because, you see, the spirit is subject to us. And we can decide to keep going or shut it off. And God has put a lot into man's hands.
Right.
And so when God gives a message, we should allow the Spirit to come upon us, because He wants to speak in tongues. And then we won't have this situation where we can't get an interpretation. So if you wait till the Lord moves on you for tongues and you know it, you will usually always have an interpretation following. But if you try to force it and speak in tongues, you wait and wait and wait and go on with the service. Make sure the Holy Spirit is moving upon you for that. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. The interpretation is a divine revelation, a divine flow of energy that comes in an instant when it's needed to interpret a tongue that was just given and not understood. Now, with that in mind, we find a pattern. The pattern is, whatever God wants in that capacity, He will energize at that moment to somebody who's got that resident gift to operate it. Now we come to the last gift, the gift of faith. What is the gift of faith? The gift of faith, in order to fall in line with all the rest, has to be interpreted in the same way. The gift of faith is a divine, instantaneous release of energy for the work of the body of Christ and the ministry in faith. It has got nothing to do with how much faith you have in God, how much you have built up, just like it had, the word of wisdom had nothing to do with how much wisdom you've built up. It has nothing to do with saving faith, your salvation. It has to do with the release of energy upon you for faith. You say, faith in what? Faith for what? Faith in any way that God wants to use it. He does not say. He has not limited it. He has not defined it. He doesn't need to define it, because He will decide. Faith for whatever is needed. Faith for the moment. Well, what are some typical ways in which it will come upon or can be used? Well, for example, there may be a need for healing, and somebody will come up and say, Pastor, somebody needs to be prayed for healing. She'll say, all right. You may have the gift of healing. You may not. You may have the gift of faith. But you go up to pray for that person, and all of a sudden, God comes upon you in that gift of faith that you have, and He releases energy of faith until you have got faith. I mean, brother, you feel like that all the devils and sickness and hell can't stop you, can't stop this thing from flowing. There is a faith that is not yours. It is so far above you. When you try to have faith, you can't seem to get any place. But all of a sudden, you're as bold as a lion, and you'll tell people things that, you know, every doctor in the world will be scared to tell them. You will tell them things. You will know. Now, this, I want to caution, is separate from your faith. There are people, especially new converts, in their great zeal and faith and naivety, or whatever you call it, the naivety, that they will grab a person, I've seen it done, in a wheelchair, and they'll haul them out of the wheelchair, lift them up, and the poor soul is hanging there like this, all miserable, and you walk and so forth, and after about 20 minutes of wearing him out and embarrassing him, they'll sit him down in the chair and walk off. Nothing happened, because they had faith, but it was not the gift of faith. It did not come from God. They just thought that they could go out and raise the world. I've seen a number of young men particularly who all of a sudden they had faith to do things that they could never do. Because they thought everything came by faith. And they thought if they just had faith, it would happen. But that is not according to the Word of God. Because there are some principles and premises upon which God does things. And God says, I am not going to take that 17-year-old whippersnapper who's only living half right for the Lord, who doesn't know me or my word very well, and just because he's got a lot of ego and he's got a lot of faith and he's a fanatic and he'll believe anything that comes along, and he's going to charge out and raise every cripple from the dead and raise and set the whole church in order. He says, I'm not going to give him that because he believes it. Because, he says, my body is going to be healed when they will work together and love together and when there's obedience to the government. And when my church is one, there will be a healing in the body. And when there's a lot of things that have to come into operation, when they will begin to be walk righteously. And faith is a powerful thing, a very important thing. It's a primary thing. But you cannot go out just because you believe. And find it, and I've seen people haul off. They were astounded. The person didn't walk. I went and had them send me notes. They were absolutely sure. And it didn't happen at all. But when God gives you faith, you know he's going to back it up. When he gives you that faith, and when you have a gift of faith, and you're using it in conjunction with any other ministry or gift, brother, it is totally different than you and what you have in the natural. There might be a need in the body for faith. He may come up on you with you. You have a resident gift of faith. His energy will come up on you to release that gift through the importation of words of faith that will build faith. Faith to build faith. Faith to raise the dead that you could never in your own mind muster up. Faith for healing. Faith to believe God for the impossible. Faith in any area that God wants you to have it for and there's a need for. It is left undefined. What should you do if you're in the body and all of a sudden faith? You have to make a discernment as to whether this is you getting emotionally stirred and you have no proof you have any gift of faith. It isn't a reoccurring thing happening. You just feel like you get emotionally disturbed, and when you get emotional, you know, when a minister from, missionary from Africa comes, you want to go to Africa. When a missionary from India comes, you want to go to India. And when a healing service, you want to go up and pray for them. All the call, you want to pray for them. Witnessing teams, you want to do that. Outreaches, you want to do that. Singing, you want to do that. I mean, you're just emotionally blown by everything that is, you know, every wind that is blowing of God. Then you realize that God hasn't given you that gift, and that's not what's happening. You're just emotional. You just have faith for anything. That is not what he's dealing with. But when you know you don't have that kind of faith, and all of a sudden a faith comes upon you that is a supernatural faith that you do not have, and it comes upon you for a purpose, and you know that purpose, then you'd arise and enter into that purpose with a boldness. You say, well, what if I get corrected? My friend, if that faith is of God, it will accomplish the purpose to where it is sent, and you will not get corrected. You'll see the fruits of it. It will bear witness. It will be a powerful tool. It will do the work. If it's of God, it will not. And if it's not of God, you need to know. Never fear a compass, though it corrects you. You walk a bit, pop out your compass. It has corrected you. Don't smash it on the rock because it proved you wrong. In the wartime, they developed a little computer black box they used in American bombers flying over Germany. And before what they did, as a German Messerschmitt fighter plane came in, they were in the B-17 bomber. They aimed a 50 caliber at and so I better hold it up a little bit. And he's coming this way, and he's going about 350, so I'll pull up a little bit ahead of him. And there's quite a bit of wind, got quite a tailwind, so back a little bit. And they'll kind of spray it out ahead of them and try to guess where to have it, see? How much trajectory and all the rest. And they were trying to guess and all over the place where he was. And they all did the same. And then they developed this particular black box. And in training, the fellas used to, they didn't train themselves by it. What they'd do is they would pull out ahead of an American fighter plane out here, and they would guess where it should be, and they'd click on the button, the gun would jump. And say, no, that's what it is. We've computed for you the trajectory, the wind, the drift, the velocity, the distance, the size of the size of the plane, and how much lead to take, and it would correct every time. It'd pop and correct. But after a while, without the black box, you begin to learn how much to make. You're getting correction, and the repeated correction begin to teach you until you didn't need it quite so badly anymore. And you see, don't kick that box out of the airplane. Realize it's teaching you something. And there'll come a day when you'll be able to operate just like the black box, the computer. Correction is very valuable. And you're right here among friends.
Right.
See? And when you get out on the front someplace, you're going to be glad that you had enough corrected to be able to shoot straight out here with whatever you got. And not step out and say, boy, for 5 years I've prayed to do anything. Now God's going to use me and I don't know whether I got it or not. I'm in or out or sideways. See, that won't be very smart.
Right.
So all correction is given. Don't worry about correction. That's given in love. It's for a purpose. And you'll never get corrected as long as it's right on. As long as it's right on, it'll just fit the hand in a glove. Does anyone have any question on the gift of faith before I close my part of the seminar this evening? Just speak it out. Speak it out.
John,
how would you differentiate the gift of faith from the gift of healing and the gift of miracles? Well, if you have a gift of healing, you don't necessarily have that supercharged faith. You just obey God's word. And you have a gift, you feel anointed to pray for somebody, and you pray for them, and they're healed. If you operate in the gift of faith along with it, there will be a very unusual supercharged faith of knowing in a very dynamic way ahead of time, rather than just confidence and just going ahead, you know. There's a difference in just saying, well, I know it works, and God's called me, and I feel anointed to do it, and so I'm doing it, and I'm just praying, and I don't feel anything ahead of time. I can't tell you anything. As opposed to a very bold, powerful, supernatural faith. I've had that. I know what it feels like to stand with such faith. You just feel like challenging the whole world, you know. Like, but God's going to do that thing is dead boiling in you. See, that's different than just the gift of healing where you don't necessarily feel that. Also, faith is not limited to healing and miracles. It's for any particular thing. Not only imparting faith to others, but it's faith to receive from God anything that's needed.
Right.
God may use you in a very supernatural way in an intercessory prayer group in faith. It can be used in a multitude of ways that has nothing to do with healing. Healing is not necessarily related for faith, although as you're being anointed, you may have more faith. You get more faith when you're anointed to do anything, you have more faith. But there is a very unusual faith that comes upon you when God is using you. Now, a word of warning. These are resident gifts. They reside within, and the continual operation of them lets you know that you have the gift. Every Christian has a right to pray for somebody for healing and expect results. That does not mean you have the gift of healing. But when you're getting unusual results continually, you know, 40 out of 40 come up, you're getting prayed for, then you begin to know that God is using you and you get the gift. And this is so with anything else. You can have unusual, God can give you unusual faith at times for to believe in something. He can cause you to discern a spirit sometimes. He can use you at times any way he wants to. He can do the same thing as he does with somebody who's got a resident gift, except he doesn't give it to you as a resident gift. He just does it to you punctilio at certain times. But you'll know you have the gift that is a resident gift, that is something that is operating in you over a period of time when you find it operating in a very remarkable way above what it did and what it would if you did not have that gift. Because every Christian should be able to have faith, and God does come down and helps you in your lack of faith and other things at times. Well, I think that's all the time I'll take this evening. We trust that... Did you have a question? Well, there might be a case, for example, in Daniel even being thrown into the lion's den. See, faith is passive, where miracles is active. He did not go down there, as far as we know, and do any active miracle to shut their mouth. But I doubt that he went, was thrown headlong, screaming and to the top of his lungs and in fright. In fact, I think God even gave that king faith, even though he was a heathen king, because his heart was to protect that righteous man. And even as Caiaphas, who was not a righteous man but held an office, prophesied because he was high priest that year. And the Bible says he prophesied because he was high priest that year. He prophesied something he didn't even know anything about concerning Christ, that he himself was going to have something to do with murdering. Even the king said, "Thy God shall I be able to deliver thee," and so forth. And I think that Daniel went into that lion's den with a gift of faith that came into him until he could lay down in confidence in a lion's den without having that feel. And God, a faith produces. See, you have a faith, and God backs up faith in a very unusual, remarkable way. You see, the gifts of the Spirit are the same as the same energy and thing happening from God that is not a resident gift. And so we see many of these same things in the Old Testament. But the gift is for Spirit-filled believers, and then in the church operation you have to look in the book of Acts or afterwards. And there are not an awful lot of real examples we can draw from, but there are a few. And some of them you cannot be positive about. For example, Paul and Silas sat in prison, bound in stocks, singing praises. Now, most of you bound in stocks don't sing praises, but some of you do. Now, you can have a lot of faith in God, and you can do that. You can even be scared and say, "Let's sing." On the other hand, God can give you, if you operate the gift of faith, and the apostle had that gift, and God came down upon him and gave him that gift, he could have such fantastic faith that that prison thing seemed as nothing. He could have such faith those bars are going to swing open, that they swing wide open. He could have such faith that these things weren't going to hold him. He could have such a divine faith, "I just know these things," and begin to praise God because he knew it, and those shackles fall off because he knew it. You see, that would be an example, although we cannot prove, of course, that's precisely what happened. Well, time's about up. Been here 2 hours and 25 minutes, 2 hours and 15 minutes, whatever it is already. We'd like to have you stand, please. And so I would like someone to close the ministry, the service this evening, if and say.
Here are a few examples of God using the gift of faith in my ministry, that it might be an encouragement to you. And I know that some time ago God spoke, I think it's been a couple years ago now, that the Lord spoke in a message saying that he was giving the gift of faith to many in the congregation, and that we should become aware of the fact that he wanted to use this ministry in our midst. And I know that many of you have come to me with questions on your hearts about anointings that you have received from God, and a supernatural faith coming upon you and wanting to know exactly what you should do with that. So I'd like to share with you a few examples of how God has used me in times past and presently as well in the operation of the gift of faith, and when I've known for sure that it was a gift of faith in operation, and how I release that and what happens. I remember so many times in the ministry of intercessory prayer when God has placed upon my heart a particular need that has been very close to His heart. And as I have experienced the heart of God for that need and therefore became very concerned about that, I've had God then come and anoint me with faith until I could release that faith and begin to believe for that, until I knew positively that God was taking care of that situation. And then the prayer changed at that point to one of praise and glory and victory and rejoicing, even though a moment before it was very heavy and heart-rendering and deep. All of a sudden then, when faith came into operation, it lifted up into the realms of glory and thankfulness and praise and an attitude of absolutely knowing. So that's the way the gift of faith operates. Many, many times I've had that happen to me in intercessory prayer. Many times before the service has begun, when we are praying here for the service, I have had the gift of faith come upon me until there has been such a supernatural power of God come upon me in belief for the move of God in that assembly. And as I have begun to release that in praise and worship to the Lord now, because I knew like I didn't know before, because all of a sudden the power of God was upon me, see? And I had this supernatural doubtlessness until I have sensed the Spirit of God just moving and the whole attitude of the congregation coming from here up to here. I have seen it happen in the middle of a service when things were just getting kind of bogged down and God's power would come upon me and I would experience a mighty anointing of God sitting here. And I would know that that's the gift of faith, and I would begin to release it, begin to thank and praise God for it in my mind, and the attitude of the service would come up, and we'd begin to have a freedom released in the Spirit. When I've prayed for people and laid my hands upon them, the gift of faith has come in operation, and as I've laid my hands upon them and begin to pray, their attitude was changed. Before, they had an attitude of doubt. They didn't know whether God, they were all concerned with their problem. And without having to get in and explain a lot of things to them, just by laying my hands on them and beginning to pray for them, and I wasn't praying in English, praying in tongues, so the fact that they heard what I was saying and could identify with that had nothing to do with it, even though that's possible, but the gift of faith was in operation, and I felt the unction of God go through me to them, and all of a sudden their attitude was changed. One time, quite a number of years ago, God came upon me in the operation of faith for the assembly, and I knew that if people would come up, that they could have their need met. And I mentioned this particular time to you because it was so unusual in the knowledge that I had of the impartation of faith at that particular time. As people came up, I knew instantly whether they had received it or whether they didn't receive it. And I remember reaching my hand forth to a person, and he was just like a stone wall. He couldn't receive it. And I would say, oh, receive it, receive it. Take it. God is here. It didn't matter what the problem was. He didn't have to tell me what the problem was. I knew that if he could just receive what I was trying to give him, that that problem would be taken care of. And he couldn't receive it. And I knew that he hadn't received it. Then somebody else would come up, and the instant I laid my hand upon him, they had it. Because I felt the Spirit. See, I was unctionized with a power from God. I was unctionized with faith. The Spirit of God in the manifestation of faith was just leaping from me, and I felt that go, and I said, you got it. Oh, yes, they knew they had it. I didn't have to tell them, but I knew when the Spirit of God left me and went to them. One girl was about 3 feet from me, and she started to come. And the Spirit of God leapt from me to her. She said, I said, you got it. She said,
said, yes, I've got it, I've got it. The Lord came and touched her, and all of a sudden her attitude was changed. 3 or 4 days later, she saw the result of it in her life, and the problem was taken care of. See, she didn't necessarily have the problem taken care of instantly, but her attitude was completely changed. She knew that she knew that she knew, and sure enough, it came to pass. Oh, hallelujah. I want to see us begin to operate the gift of faith, and there should be many, many, many in this body that are operating the gift of faith. The older workers should all have the gift of faith in operation, so when they come up and lay hands on a person, all of a sudden, the power of God comes upon them to release that faith to that individual. And that person who's having a hard time believing God and doesn't know whether God can meet his need or not, as soon as that hand is laid upon him, hallelujah, now he knows, because God has touched him. Let's covet this gift. I think it's going to make a big difference in our assembly when we begin to have freedom in the operation of this particular gift. And it's wonderful when it's accompanied with the gift of the word of knowledge, but it's not needed every time. When I operate the gift of the word of knowledge at times when God comes upon me supernaturally and I know of needs in the body, and sometimes, you know, I get up here and I say, there's somebody here that has this and this and this, that's always accompanied with faith, because at that time the gift of faith is also in operation, and I know that God wants to touch them right then. And if they'll just receive it then, God wants to touch them with faith to believe at that point that that thing can be taken care of. He's not just revealing that then for them to go pray about it. He's revealing it because the gift of faith is in operation, and he wants to touch him with faith. That's why it's so important when the gift of faith and the gift of the word of knowledge are operating in conjunction with one another, that you reach up and take it right then when God is there to impart it.
I am quite sure there are a number of people in this assembly that are operating the gift of faith and do not really know it because they haven't. They didn't know what it was. On the other hand, I'm quite sure I'm going to get a flood of letters from people who think they are operating it with lone instances, and they got confidence, and I just knew God was going to, and is that it, and so forth. And I want to tell you, first place, if you have faith, release it.
Right.
Gift or no gift, resident or not, release it.
Right.
But you have to judge whether it's proper in the service, whether it'll fit in, whether it's accepted, whether it's time, and everything else. But you see, this is more, the gift of faith is more than just knowing something, just being sure God's going to heal that person or something. The gift of faith is a very dynamic thing. It is such a powerful faith that is just, it's almost, you know in a very powerful, dynamic way, in an absolute, total certainty. I find that not only happens when I pray for the people, for the sick, you know, sometimes, you know, I begin, you know how I get sometimes, because that gift of faith comes in, and I just, it's something that you just not, see, people say, well, he's just trying to do this. People misjudge. When you use the gift, they'll misjudge you. But he's just trying to do this, and he's just doing, because they're judging you with as though you had no gift. They are assuming this is what you do if God's not on you, not realizing you're doing it because God is on you.
Right.
And when God comes upon me, and that gift of faith, you cannot be satisfied with just praying for somebody and getting the result. God wants that to radiate to the congregation so they will soak it in and absorb it and come to that same faith. He will use the people to challenge, you might say, see, and to bring them up to that place and stagger their minds at what God will do. And I feel that same thing come upon me sometimes, number of times, a lot of times, during the service. Well, you know, at times I want to just say something to teach because I'm a teacher and I have a pastor's heart and I'm concerned. But the gift, that God will energize me for the gift of faith at times when I feel such an absolute, total, overwhelming, dogmatic faith that I get up and exhort, see, to impart faith, and I get super dogmatic. I mean, I just feel like, you know, tearing the place up practically, because I just feel so powerfully about that hour. There's a faith on me that is not mine, and it is just pouring out, because it is so dogmatic that all the devils in hell, nothing can happen, and it just wants so badly, see, by the Spirit of the Lord for you to have it, more than anything, more than life practically, and it just wants to tear out, see, because it wants, it's the Spirit of God concerned about His people. Faith is you're in an absolute, positive, dynamic knowledge where you know and you know that it doesn't make any difference what obstacles, what's going to happen. For example, you're praying and that faith, God will energize that, and you know until you will laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh in the Spirit, you'll laugh. Why? You'll laugh because you can see all the devils in hell and all the forces and the cripples and all the rest means nothing. It's like Brother Jeffries used to do, and I'm going to quit with this. When people would come forth, he had a miracle, gift of miracle healing, gift of miracles in the area of paraplegics or arthritics, I guess it was. And as they would come up, hopeless arthritics, all twisted over in their wheelchairs, he would laugh and laugh and laugh as they rolled him up the aisle because the gift of faith was in operation. And he saw those people walking out of those chairs and the devil being defeated and those demons having to leave. And in the Spirit, he would laugh. And it wasn't just him. It was because the faith was so strong that all the bondage was ridiculous. The devil, it was like the devil was a super weakling with a little thin, you know, cotton candy string around him. And it seemed so ridiculous. And he saw the divine power of God right there. And they'd begin, as he would begin to laugh and laugh and laugh, they'd crack, 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 and they'd hear the cracking, and the knuckles and the arms and legs would stiffen out. And as they come up the aisle, they'd be straightening out as he would laugh as they come up the aisle. It might seem foolish to the natural man, but that faith was operating, that gift that God was giving, and God was energizing to do a job. Well, I don't know. There's a lot we could tell you if we had a lot more time, but it's an application. The time is gone, and we're going to close with a ministry and song, Have Faith in God.